great plays. Elizabeth the Queen by Maxwell Anderson. The National Broadcasting Company presents Great Plays, a series of famous plays selected to show the development of drama from the sunrise performances in ancient Athens down to the contemporary theater. We are privileged to have with us Mr. Burns Mantle, outstanding American drama critic and known throughout the country for his yearly volume of Broadway's best plays. He will act as commentator at today's production of Elizabeth the Queen. Mr. Burns Mantle.
When we have given you Maxwell Anderson's Elizabeth the Queen today, we shall have completed a series of 28 great plays. They have ranged from the Trojan Women of Aeschylus to this fine historical drama of Maxwell Anderson. They have covered, in form and content, the playwriting styles and achievements of the dramatists of all ages, from the Commedia dell'arte of the early Italians to the Irish comedy of Dublin's Abbey Theatre. They have brought you the performances of some of America's finest actors and given you a taste of the work of a new and freshened type of play direction furnished by the eager young men of radio's dramatic forces. It is the intention of the National Broadcasting Company to continue this series next season, and it is my pleasure to suggest to you that if you have a favorite play, old or new, that you let us know about it, either by writing to Blevins Davis, care of this station, or, as the announcers say, to the station to which you are listening. Next season's plays will be largely selected from our fellow playgoers' suggestions. Copies of Part 1 of the Great Plays manuals have been exhausted. There are, however, a few copies of Part 2 still available for those of you who would preserve a record of this series. It is fitting, I think, that we should bring the Great Plays to a close with the work of the outstanding American dramatist of this day. With the continued absence of Eugene O'Neill, this honor, I believe, can be safely claimed for the author of Elizabeth the Queen, Mary of Scotland, Winterset, High Tower, and this season's Knickerbocker Holiday. Mr. Anderson's record is recent and doubtless well known to you. The son of a Baptist preacher born in Pennsylvania in 1888, he went to school wherever father happened to be preaching. He ended by graduating from the University of North Dakota. He was afterward a member of the faculty of his alma mater. He also has taught at Stanford University and Whittier College in California. He was never happy teaching, so he took to writing. He has been reporter and editorial writer first in the West and later in New York. He was on the Old Morning World when he wrote a fine play called The White Desert, which was a bit strong for the public that greeted it. Then he and Lawrence Stallings wrote the well-remembered What Price Glory. From then on, the Anderson progress has been steady, and his satisfaction has been as great as a modest man of unusual gifts can absorb. Elizabeth the Queen was produced by the Theatre Guild in New York in November 1930, with Lynn Fontanne as Elizabeth and Alfred Lunt, the Essex. In our radio adaptation by director Lester Vale, we will have Mady Christians as the Elizabeth and Wesley Addy, who Cyrano de Bergerac, you should remember, as Essex. Our first scene is an entrance hall in the palace at Whitehall. One of Queen Elizabeth's courtiers, Sir Walter Raleigh, in a new and resplendent suit of silver armor, is joined by Penelope Gray, lady-in-waiting to Her Majesty. It is Sir Walter who speaks.
Greetings, lady, from my heart.
Good morrow, Lord, from my soul.
I take my oath in your face that you're rushing to the window to witness the arrival of my Lord of Essex.
And in your teeth, I swear I am a no such errand. But only to see the sun rise.
And the sun has been up this hour, my dear. So run. Run to the window. He'll be here and you'll miss him.
Is there a lady would run from Sir Walter in his new silver suiting? You dazzle the eye, my lord, with your flashing panoply. Why, it is more brilliant than the sunrise I have missed.
Twit me about my armor, if you will, my wench. There is no other like it in the kingdom, and not like to be.
Heaven knows I've seen none like it, and none so becoming.
Morrow, Sir Walter.
Robert.
The Queen's still under canopy?
I know not.
She is dressed in stirring, Lord Cecil, and awaits my Lord of Essex.
He is here.
I will tell her.
So he is here, and therefore acclamation lifts in every voice. Tears well in every eye, with the exception of mine, perhaps, and yours, I hope.
Ah, I am at a pass to welcome him myself. In truth, I no longer stomach Lord Essex.
Then why put up with him?
The Queen, my friend, what she wants, she will have, and she must have her earl.
But which does she love more, her earl or her kingdom?
Which?
She loves her kingdom more than all men and always will. If he could be made to look like a rebel, which he's close to being, and she could be made to believe it, which is harder. You'd be first man in the council.
Yes. Has it ever occurred to you that if he could be sent from England, there might be a chance to come between them?
Would she let him go?
No, but if he could be teased and stung about his generalship till he was too angry to reflect. Well, let us say you were proposed for the expedition to Ireland.
No, I thank you. He'd let me go. And I'd be sunk in a bog this next 300 years. I've seen enough good men try to conquer Ireland.
Then how would this be? We hint at his name for leader.
Good so far.
He will be angry and hint at your name. You will offer to go if he will.
No, not to Ireland.
Yes. You think he'll let you go with him and share the military glory?
We can try it, then. Always remembering that no matter what is said, no matter what I say or you, I do not go. You must get me out of that.
I will.
When is the council?
At 9.
You will make these suggestions?
Yes, yes.
At 9, then.
Be easy.
What is all this, sirrah?
Armand, my lord, from my lord of Essex.
For whom?
We know not.
Now, by the 10,000 holy names, am I mistaken, Robert? Or is this armor very much like my own?
Very like, I should say. Is it sterling?
And the self-same pattern. Has the Earl gone lunatic?
Ah, Sir Francis.
Now, what do you know of this, Master Bacon?
They are Greeks, my lord, bearing gifts.
There's more of it. Good God, it comes in bales. I say, who's to wear this, sirrah? Who's it for?
Their name is Legion, Sir Walter.
Essex.
Happily met. Felicitations on your effulgence, sir. You're more splendid than I had imagined. News came of your silver even in my retreat. I was ill, and I swear it cured me.
I'm glad you're well again,
my lord. Should have heard the compliments I've heard passed on you. Sir Walter's in silver. Sir Walter's set the style. The world will follow. So I sent for the silversmiths, and by their sweat here's for your lads tailored to every man's measure. Enough for the whole Queen's guard.
I have borne much from you out of regard for the Queen, my Lord of Essex.
And I from you.
And you'll bear more, by heaven.
He's going to the Queen, remember? And we have an errand.
You presume to protect me, Master Secretary?
I protect you both, our mistress. There can be no quarreling here.
That's very true. Come, let us go.
Come, Raleigh. Come.
Go, men. Follow your bright example.
Oh, Essex, there has seldom been a man so little wise, so headstrong, but he could sometimes see how necessary it is to keep friends and not make enemies at court. But you...
Let him make friends with me. He may need friends himself.
You're going to the Queen?
Yes, God help us both.
Then hear me a moment.
Speak, Schoolmaster Bacon. I knew it was coming. You've been quiet too long.
You have enough on your hands without quarreling with Raleigh. You have quarreled with the Queen against my judgment.
Damnation, can a man quarrel on order or avoid a quarrel at will?
Why, certainly, if he knows his way.
Not I.
You quarreled with her because she wished to keep peace and you wanted war.
We are at war with Spain. But such a silly, frightened, womanish war as only a woman would fight.
She is a woman and fights a womanish war.
And I must wait, hold myself back?
Even so.
Why? I come of better blood than Elizabeth. My name was among the earls around King John under the oak. What the nobles have taught a king, a noble may teach a queen.
You talk treason and death. The old order is dead. This is Elizabeth. Yet there is one man in all her kingdom she fears. That man's yourself. And she has good reason to fear you. You're a man not easily governed, rebellious. Moreover, a general, popular and acclaimed. And last, she loves you. Which makes you the more to be feared, whether you love her or not.
I do love her, I do.
Oh, my lord, a man as young as
you. If she were my mother's kitchen hag, toothless and wooden-legged, she'd make all others colorless.
You play dangerously here, my lord.
I've never yet loved or hated for policy nor a purpose. I tell you, she's a witch and has a witch's brain. I love her, I fear her, I hate her, I adore her.
That side of it you must know. For yourself.
I will walk softly. Here is my hand. Distress yourself no more. I can carry myself.
Good. Only... count not too much on the loves of queens.
I'll remember.
Good morrow, my lord.
Good morrow, Penelope. Have I kept the queen?
Would I acknowledge her majesty would wait for you?
I commend me to your discretion.
Only to my discretion?
Take what message you will. Only let it be that I am here.
May I have one moment, my lord? She is not quite ready.
As many as you like. What is it, my dear?
Do you love the queen?
Is that a fair question as between maid and man?
An honest question.
Then I will answer honestly. Yes, my dear.
Dearly?
Yes.
I would you loved someone who loved you better.
Meaning whom?
Meaning no one. Myself, perhaps, that's no one. Or anyone who loved you better.
Does she not love me, sweet?
She loves you not. Loves you, loves you
And
not.
Why do you tell me this?
Because I am afraid.
For me?
My lord, you anger her too much.
But is this not common to lovers?
No. I have never cursed you, and I have good cause.
Well!
Your Majesty.
When we met last, it was, as I remember, ill met by moonlight, sirrah.
Well met by day, my queen.
I had hardly hoped to see you again, my Lord of Essex, after what was vowed forever when you left.
You are unkind to remind me.
I think I also used the word forever and meant it as much, at least. Therefore, no apology. But you have been gone a week at this Wanstock of yours. And a week's a long time at court. You forget that I must live and draw breath whether I see you or not.
What do you think I've been doing this last week? Trying not to be here. But you see I'm here.
Yes, I see.
Why did you plague me without a word?
Why did you not come?
You are a queen, my queen. You had prescribed me. Let it be known I'd not be admitted if I came.
I may have meant it at the time.
I think I have a demon and you are it.
If ever a mocking devil tortured a woman, you're my devil and torture me. Let us part and quickly or there'll be worse to come. Go, go.
I tell you, I will not.
Oh, come. Come to me, my Essex. Let us be kind for a moment. I will be kind. You need not be. You're young and strangely winning and strangely sweet. My heart goes out to you wherever you are. And something in me has drawn you. But this same thing that draws us together hurts and blinds us until we strike at one another. It will end badly. Go, my dear, and don't see me again.
All this is what I said when last I went away. Yet here I am.
Love someone else, my dear. I will forgive you.
You mean you would try to forgive me?
Aye, but I would.
What would you have to forgive? I've tried to love others. It's empty as ashes.
What others?
No one.
What others?
Everyone.
Everyone.
That too has been your triumph. You've made it all empty away from you and with you too.
And me? What of me while you were gone?
If we must quarrel when we meet, why then let us quarrel. At least we can quarrel together.
I think if we are to love, we must love and be silent. For when we speak...
I'll be silent then, and you shall speak. But if you would sometimes heed me. Only sometimes. Only when I'm right. If you would say to yourself that even your lover might be right sometimes, instead of flying instantly into opposition as soon as I propose a shift in policy.
But you were wrong. A campaign into Spain's pure madness. Think of the drain in men and the drain on the treasury and the risks we'd run of being unable to follow success or failure for lack of troops and money.
But why lack troops and why lack money? There's no richer country in Europe in men or money than England. It's this same ancient, unprofitable niggardliness that pinches pennies and wastes a world of treasure. What I plead for is to be bold once, just once. Give the gods a chance to be kind to us. Walk through this cobweb, Philip, and take his lazy cities with a storm of troops and ships. If we're to trifle, we might better sit at home forever and rot.
Here we sit, then, and rot, as you put it. It seems to me we rot to some purpose here. I have kept the peace and kept my people happy and prosperous. They have had time for music and poetry.
And at what a price, what a cowardly price.
I am no coward either. It requires more courage not to fight than to fight when one is surrounded with hasty hotheads urging campaigns in all directions. Have you not built your name high enough? I gave you your chance at Cadiz and you took it. And now there's no name in all England like yours to the common people. When you ride in the streets, it's Essex they cheer and not their queen. What more would you have?
Is it for this hollow cheering you hold me back from Spain?
It's because I believe in peace and have no faith in wars and what wars win.
You do not fear me?
I fear you, too. You believe yourself fitter to be king than I to be queen. You're flattered by this crying of your name by fools. You trust me no more than you trust Penelope or any other woman to be in power. You believe you'd rule England better because you're a man.
That last is true. I would. It's because I love you that I can see wherein you fail. It's because you cannot act and think like a man.
By the gods, I'll make you sorry for those words. Act and think like a man. Why should I think like a man when a woman's thinking is wiser? What do you plan? To take over my kingdom? Depose me?
You are a touchy queen.
I had bad bringing up. I was never sure who my mother was going to be next day, and it shook my nerves.
You're your father's daughter, I'll swear to that. I can tell by your inconstancy.
I wish you had need to fear it, or at any rate, I'd never shown you how much I'm yours.
But why?
Tell me, my dear. Do I tire you? Do I wear upon you a little?
Never.
But you'd have to say it, you see. You'd have to say it because you wouldn't hurt me, and because I'm your queen. Oh. And so I'll never know until everyone else has known and is laughing at me when I've lost you. Wait. Let me say this, please. When the time does come and I seem old to you...
You're not old. I'll not have you...
And you love someone else. Tell me. Tell me the first. Will you do that in all kindness? In memory of a great love past? No. No, you couldn't. It's not in a man to be kind that way, nor in a woman to take it kindly. I think I'd kill you in a first blind rage.
Kill me when I can say it.
Oh, my Essex. Love, will you let me say one more thing that will hurt you?
Anything.
Your blood's on fire to lead a new command now that you've won so handsomely in Spain. And when I need a general anywhere, you'll ask to go. Don't ask it and don't go. You are better here in London.
Was this all you wanted, to make me promise this?
Not for myself, I swear it. Not because I think you reckless with men and money, though I do think that. Not because you might return in too much triumph and take my kingdom from me, which I can imagine. And not because I want to keep you here and hate to risk you. Though that's also true, but rather... And for this you must forgive me. Because you're more a poet than a general, and I fear you might fail and lose what you have gained if you went again.
Damnation! Whom would you send?
I asked you not to be angry.
Not to be angry? How do you judge a leader except by whether he wins or loses? Was it by chance, do you think, that I won at Cadiz?
Very well, you shall go. Go if you will. Only I love you, and I see what would be wiser.
You choose the one thing I must have and ask me not to ask it. No, forbid
I'll not say it again.
But if I am more poet than general, then poets on occasion make better generals than generals do.
You've proved it so on more than one occasion.
The council is met.
Now... We shall hear about Ireland if Cecil has his way. One thing, remember. You must not go to Ireland.
No, that's a war I'm content to miss.
Thank God for that much, then. I've been afraid Ireland might tempt you. And will you understand, I'll have to oppose you on your Spanish hostages. Huh? You'll have your way, but I'll have to oppose you. Will you understand?
I'll play my part perfectly.
Now, what can come between us out of heaven or hell or Spain or England?
Nothing. Never again.
Your Majesty, the council's met and is waiting.
What further business is there before us?
There is one perpetual subject, Your Majesty, which we take up time after time and always leave unsettled, but which has come to a place where we must act one way or another. Tyrone's rebellion at Ulster. We've governed Ireland with our left hand so far, and our hold is slipping. The man who goes there now must be one fitted to master any field. The best we have, a proved and able general, of no less rank than Lord Howard here, Lord Essex, Sir Walter Raleigh, Knollys, Armour, or Mountjoy.
You name a dozen, Sir Robert.
Why should one go alone if it comes to that? Why not two expeditions? One to Dublin and one into Ulster, meeting halfway.
Are there two who could work together?
I hope I betray no secret, Sir Walter, if I tell the council that I spoke with you before the session and asked you if you would go into Ireland if the Queen requested it, and that you said yes, should the Queen desire it. And I believe, and Sir Walter believes, there should be more than one hand in this, that if he goes, Lord Essex should go with him.
With him?
In what capacity?
To lead an equal command. Two generals of coeval power landing north and south and meeting to crush Tyrone.
Would you set up two Lord Protectors in Ireland?
It was my thought that we name Raleigh as Lord Protector.
And I under him?
Since the Azores adventure, which my Lord Essex led and which came off a little lamer than could be wished, it has seemed to me that Raleigh should receive first place if he served in this.
This is deliberate. An insult planned.
It is no insult, my lord. But plain truth. I speak for the good of the state.
You lie. You've never spoken here or elsewhere for any cause but your own.
No more of this. Whoever makes you angry has won already, Essex.
They have planned this.
I say no more. Raleigh will go to Ireland as Lord Protector and go alone if the Queen asks it of him. And since you will not go...
I have not said I would not go. But if I were to go, I'd go alone as Lord Protector.
That you will not. I have some word in this. Lord Cecil, you have named your man and Sir Walter Raleigh.
With your Majesty's gracious permission, I'll go, if Essex does.
Is Sir Walter afraid to go alone?
I don't care for it. And neither does our Essex.
Why, what is this that hangs over Ireland? Is it haunted, this island? Is it a kind of hell where men are damned if they set foot on it?
I've never seen the place, but if it's a country like any other countries, with people on it like any other peoples in it, it's nothing to be afraid of more than France or Wales or Flanders or anywhere else.
We hear you say so.
If I'm challenged to go to Ireland, why then I'll go.
Will you listen?
Your Majesty, I can see that Raleigh and Cecil have set themselves to bait me into Ireland. Since this is a challenge, I go and will return. By heaven, more of a problem to Cecil and Raleigh's than when I went.
Your Majesty, if Essex will go, it solves our problem. We could hardly refuse that offer.
No.
I will go, and I will return, mark me.
No! Break up the council, my lords. We meet tomorrow.
And there is no decision.
Yes, it is decided.
Yes! Go to Ireland! Go to hell! What malicious star danced in your sky when you were born?
What malicious star danced over Ireland, you should ask?
Oh, you are a child in council. I saw them start to draw you into this and tried to warn you, but it was no use.
They drew me into nothing. I saw their purpose and topped it with my own. Let them believe they've sunk me.
You will withdraw. I'll countermand this.
And let them laugh at me.
Better they should laugh now a little than laugh at you forever.
And why not win in Ireland?
No man wins there. You're so dazzled with a chance to lead an army, you'd follow the devil in an assault on heaven.
No, but I'd lead him.
Come. Come, touch me. Tell me all will happen well.
And so it will.
Do you want to go?
Why, yes and no. I've said I would and I will.
It's not yet too late. Remember, if you lose, that will divide us. If you win, that will divide us,
too. I'll win and it will not divide us. Is it so hard to believe in me?
No. I'll believe in you. And even forgive you if you need it. Here. My father gave me this ring. And told me if ever he lost his temper with me, to bring it to him and he'd forgive me. And so it saved my life. Long after. When he'd forgotten. Long after when one time he was angry.
Darling, if ever you're angry, rings won't help.
Yes. But it would. I'd think of you as you are now, and it would. Take it.
I have no pledge of you. I'll take it to remember you in absence.
Take it for a better reason. Lest you and I who love should wake some morning strangers and enemies in an alien world far off. Take my ring, my lover.
You fear you will not always love me?
No, that you will not love me. And will not let me love you.
So Essex goes to Ireland, but the country, the Irish rebels, and a strange lack of cooperation from London makes his campaign a sorry one. The scene is before Essex's tent on a lonely bog in Ireland. Essex has summoned his guard.
Marvel! Marvel!
My lord.
There have been no other losses?
Only at the landing.
Ah. It's not losses we should fear now. Though we've lost more than I should like to think of. It's going on against a retreating army venturing further from our base when we're not supplied. I think we've been forgotten in London. Nay, worse than forgotten.
My lord, if I may make so bold, there must be some reason for such strange policy. The Queen has written...
Aye, she has written. Lord Essex will confine his invasions to the near coast. Lord Essex will prepare to shorten his campaign. And that is all. In the name of God, can one fight thus?
My lord, the men have not been paid.
My revenue's been stopped. Let them know that. This is not the Queen's war. Not now. Are they deserting?
They want one thing. To follow you to London.
And why to London?
Forgive my saying this. They wish to make you king.
Have they forgotten the Queen?
They are willing to forget her.
But I am not. We wait here.
We cannot wait longer without supplies.
Word will come. We wait here until...
Shall I give this out?
Yes.
That is a courier from the Queen, my lord.
At last, then.
You will see him at once?
Yes.
My lord of Essex.
Yes?
I come from the Queen.
When did you leave London?
4 days ago, my lord. We were delayed.
What delayed you?
Thieves.
And they took what from you?
Our horses and money.
And letters?
Were returned to me untouched.
Give me the letters. This is all?
Yes, my lord.
You're sure you lost nothing?
Indeed, yes, my lord. There was but one missive, and the seal was returned unbroken. The cutthroats told us they cared the less about our letters, for they could not read.
You're a clever liar, sirrah. And you are the third liar who has come the same road to me from London. You shall pay for being the third.
Dear Lord, I have not lied to you.
Take his weapons from him, Lieutenant. Set him against the post there. Not so gently. We shall break him in pieces, but slowly, with infinite delicacy.
No, no, my lord. I have not lied to you. There was but one dispatch.
Too well what you have done, sir. We need no evidence of that. What we ask is that you tell us who set you on and your accomplices.
My lord, if I knew...
Cross him up and cut him open.
My lord, I am not a coward. I cry out not so much for pain or fear of pain, but to know that this was Lord Essex, whom I have loved and who tortures innocent men. If he will hurt me, then he is not as I, and many thousands have believed him, who have loved him, and I shall not mind much dying.
Let him go. I thought my letters had been tampered with. You'd tell me if it were so.
My honored lord, by all the faith I have, and most of it's yours, I'd rather serve you well and lose in doing it than serve you blindly and gain.
You have done well. We break camp tomorrow for London. Go take that news with you. They'll welcome you outside.
Yes, my lord.
Remain with my guard and return with us.
We march tomorrow?
Yes.
Under orders from Her Majesty?
No. Listen. Lord Essex is required to disperse his men and return to the capital straightway on his own recognizance to give himself up. To give himself up!
Nothing but this.
There is a limit to my humiliation. Give out the necessary orders. We embark at daybreak.
Yes, my lord.
And it's as well it falls out this way.
By right of power and popular voice, it is your kingdom, this England.
More mine than hers, as she shall learn. It's quite as well.
There is victory in your path, my lord. The London citizens will rise at the first breath of your name.
And I'm glad for England. She's lain fallow in fear too long. Her hills shall have a spring of victory. As for this order... I received it not.
Essex has returned to England. At court, there is much uneasiness. Elizabeth has sent for Essex's friend, Sir Francis Bacon. Before his audience with the Queen, the two conspirators, Cecil and Raleigh, attempt to persuade him to join with them.
Ah, good morrow, Master Bacon.
And to you, my lord.
You are here to see the Queen.
The Queen has also been good enough to send for me.
It was my wish to speak with you first, and it is my opinion that it will be the better for all of us if I do so now, late as it is.
I am but barely on time, gentlemen.
You need answer one question only.
The Queen has this morning received news warning her that Lord Essex is allied with the Irish rebels and is even now leading his army back to England to usurp her throne. Had you heard this?
No.
You credit it?
It is your own scheme, I believe.
What? That Essex should rebel against the Queen?
You accuse us of treason?
If the Queen were aware of certain matters, she herself would accuse you of treason.
What matters?
I prefer that the Queen should question me.
Look to yourself, Master Bacon. We know what the Queen will ask you, and we know what you may answer.
Come, there's no time for this. Speak it out with him.
Stop it. In brief, if you intend to accuse any man of the suppression of letters written by Essex to the Queen, or of the suppression of letters sent by the Queen to Essex, you will need to prove these assertions, and you will argue yourself very neatly into the tower.
Lord, I had no such business in mind.
What then?
I hope I can keep my own counsel. The truth is, my lords, you're desperate men. You've overreached yourselves. And if wind of it gets to the royal ears, you're done.
We shall drag a few down with us if we're done, though. And you are the first.
It would be easier for both you and us if you were on our side. You have served Lord Essex well, and I believe he has made you promises. But the moment Essex enters England in rebellion, he is doomed and his friends with him.
One word from the Queen to him. One word from him to the Queen. One word from me, revealing the fair letters have been intercepted, and there can be no talk of rebellion.
We have news this morning that Lord Essex has already landed in England and set up his standard here. He is a rebel.
And when a man is once a rebel, do you think there will be any careful inquiry into how he happened to become one?
Essex in England?
In England. And has neglected to disband his army.
You speak of explanations between the Queen and Essex. Unless you betray us, there will be no explanations. They are at war now and will never meet again.
That is, if your plan succeeds.
Very well, then. You've chosen your master. I have done with you.
And if she learns nothing from me?
Ah, then, whatever you have been promised, whatever you have desired, that you shall have. You shall have your choice. If you need excuse, no one should know better than you that this Essex is not only a danger to our state, but also to you.
If I need excuse, I shall find one for myself.
Yes, Your Majesty, he is here.
I was not told.
Is this an antechamber, Sir Robert? Am I never to look out of my room without seeing you?
Oh, pardon, Your
Majesty. You need not pause to explain why you came. I'm wary of your face.
Yes, yes.
I've heard that you're a shrewd man, Master Bacon.
Flattery, Majesty, flattery.
I've heard it, and in a sort, I believe it. Tell me one thing. Are you Cecil's friend?
I have never been.
He's a shrewd man. He's a man to make a friend of if you'd stand well in the court, sir.
It may be.
Why are you not his friend, then?
We are not on the same side.
You follow Lord Essex?
Since I have known him.
There's a dangerous man to follow.
Lord Essex?
Lord Essex.
I am sorry, madam, if I have displeased you.
You have displeased me.
I repeat, then, I am sorry.
Good. Change, then. You will forget this Essex of yours.
If you ask it, if there is reason...
There is reason. He has taken up arms against me in England.
You are sure of this?
Is it so hard to believe?
Without proof, it is. You have proof?
Proof, good enough. And all friends of Essex go straightway to the Tower. Are you still his friend?
Yes, Majesty.
I'm sorry for it.
That is all, Your Majesty?
Why, no. You do not believe me.
Madam.
And why do you not believe me?
Madam, if you intend to place me in the Tower, would I not be there and no talk about it?
You are shrewd indeed. Perhaps too shrewd.
I am Essex's friend.
If that were true, if there were only the sound of one honest voice, I must rule England. And they say he's rebel to me. And day and night, waking, sleeping, in council, there's always one thing crying out in me over and again. I hear it crying. He cannot fail me. Me, both woman and queen. But I have written him my love, and he has not answered. What do you know of this?
Nothing.
Answer me truly, truly. Bitter or not, and you shall not lose.
He has not answered.
He has not answered.
If I knew why, I would know much. Have you angered him, sent arbitrary orders?
I have ordered him to disband his forces and return. I have cut off all revenue and supplies.
But, madam, to send a popular leader out with an army and then check him suddenly, heap disgrace upon him. He has great pride.
He has rebelled, then. I wrote him lovingly.
And he answered nothing?
Nothing.
That could not be excused.
No, it cannot be. It will not be.
Oh, madam, I fear that I have turned you against him.
No, I needed that.
But if there was something wrong, some misunderstanding...
No, no. Don't try comfort now. He had my letters. That could not go wrong. Did he not have my letters?
How could it be otherwise?
You would know that. You would know it if he had not. You have had word from him?
Yes.
Yes! He has written you, but not me. He thought to break me down by not answering... Break me until I'd say I'm yours. I'm all yours, Martin. What I am, what I have, all yours. That I will never, never, never see. I'm not broken yet.
Nor will be, Majesty.
We must not follow him. We must forget him. See him no more, my friend. He walks on quicksand. Avoid him.
Yes, Majesty.
Go now. I trust you.
Majesty.
Captain Armin.
Your Majesty.
Keep a watch on Master Bacon, on his house, and on his correspondence. I wish to know all he knows.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Wait. I have found you true of word and sure of hand. Moreover, you can keep counsel. What we see now is forever secret between us. Between us two. Not one other.
I'll hold it so.
It is reported there is an army risen against me.
God forbid.
It is so reported. The rebellion I speak of is the force Lord Essex has brought back from Ireland. I wish to make this preparation for it. Whatever orders you receive from your superiors, whatever broils occur, Lord Essex is to have free access to my presence here.
But you're mad.
These are my orders.
You would be a hostage if he were in command.
I will risk that.
There would be danger to your person, madam.
Be ready for danger. And if need be, death.
Thus, Elizabeth awaits Essex, who is nearing London at the head of his troops. After days of seclusion, Her Majesty is about to hold court.
Is it true, then, my dear Cecil, that you have taken to attending the theater?
No, madam.
It was not you, then, who forbade the performance of Richard II without asking my advice.
It was, madam.
On what ground?
Your Majesty, the play is treasonous. It shows the deposition of a king, and its performance was procured by rebels.
Rebels? What rebels?
I know not, madam. I have sent for the players to discover that.
Well, they will laugh at you, sir, and you will deserve it. Is my kingdom so shaky that we dare not listen to a true history? Are my people so easily led that the sight of a king deposed in a play would send them running hither to pull the queen out of their chair?
Madam, I entreat you earnestly that you speak with me alone for a moment.
I received that request from you earlier in the day, sir, and answered it.
But if your Majesty were aware of the nature of this business,
I am aware. Lord Essex is on his way hither. I shall be glad to see him. Let him bring his revolution here. How long think you it will last after I have looked on it and after it has looked on me?
Madam, there are 500 of the royal guard at the tower, and other troops are available. They must be posted strongly at once. There is urgent haste.
We thank you kindly, Sir Walter, but with your gracious permission, we will do nothing about this.
Madam, I beseech you. Let me take charge of this.
Stay where you are, all of you. You too, Cecil, you too. I will have no slipping away. This court wriggles like a nest of eels. Stay where you are. There is to be no guard posted. There are to be no steps taken. None.
Your Majesty! Your Majesty! Lord Scroope sends me from the city to tell you there's a rising in London. There is a mob rising in the city.
Oh.
They have sacked the grocers and broken into the wine merchant's cellar. It is said they will break into Fleet Prison and set all
Not
free.
They. If they've broken into a wine cellar, they'll get no further. We are marvelous people, we English, but we cannot hold liquor. Now, if they were Scotch, one might worry. What are they saying, these wine drinkers?
Oh, I cannot tell you that, Your Majesty.
Are they not saying, up with Essex, down with Elizabeth?
Why, yes, madam.
Why, surely, what else would they be crying? Up with Essex, viva! Down with Elizabeth, abba! The queen is dead, long live the king! If I were there, I would cry it myself. It has a marvelous ring. Up with Essex, down with Elizabeth.
What are we going to do, madam?
What is the Lord Mayor doing about all this, sir?
Nothing, madam.
How like a Lord Mayor and how sensible. That's the first principle of government. Never do anything, let the others make all the mistakes.
Majesty, Majesty! Lord Essex is landing in the river with a complement of soldiers.
As Captain of Your Majesty's Guard, I ask authority to act immediately. I alone will be responsible if he enters
here. No, Sir Walter, I alone will be responsible.
I have permission to go.
No, you have not. I take enormous pleasure in your presence here.
Mad, Your Majesty, this is a rebellion. Half the town is in uprising.
Little man, let me alone.
This much I must tell you. If you take no steps, both you and your kingdom are at the mercy of the Earl.
What are you trying to save here, my kingdom or your hide?
Wait for Lord Essex.
The queen will save
us. Stand back, my lords. Let him enter. You come with a file of soldiers at your back, my Lord of Essex.
Do I need them, Your Majesty?
No.
You have your orders, Marvel. Stay with your men.
They told me you would not see me.
They were wrong. I will see you. It seems you are in rebellion. State your grievance if you have grievance. For myself, I have a great affection for rebels, being one myself much of the time.
As to my being a rebel, that's for you to judge. But being newly arrived from Ireland and bearing news of your subjects there, I venture to come to see you.
And your army? You have an army with you.
I have brought my men home to London.
You received my orders, no doubt, directing you to disband.
I did. But is your Majesty not aware that an army turned loose becomes a mob?
And you tell me this? You are informed in those matters, but I am not.
Indeed, that is quite true. I do know about armies, and you do not.
Oh, yes. Oh, indeed. And who paid them, then? I believe your supplies were cut off.
I have paid them.
They are then in your service.
In my service, and therefore devoted yours.
And Ireland? How of Ireland?
I could have conquered Ireland had you given me time. I left it worse than I found it.
An honest answer, at any rate.
Why should I lie? The fault, if any, was yours. To conquer Ireland requires more than the months you gave me, years, perhaps.
You were engaged in subduing the rebels then when I summoned you home.
Just so.
You were not by chance joined with the rebels.
Never.
You held no parleys with our friend Tyrone.
I did. It was part of my plan.
Your plan, your plan. Why did you write me nothing of this, your plan? Am I a witch to find out what happens on the far side of the Irish Sea without being told?
I wrote you.
Masterly letters, brief to the point, wasting no words in short nothing.
I know not what your Majesty means by that. I wrote you fully, and in answer received no reply.
You wrote me?
Many times.
And had no letters from me?
None.
Before God, if the couriers were tampered with, there shall be some neck stretched here. My lords, I wish to speak with Lord Essex here alone. Huh? Leave us.
Your queen, do you think it's safe?
Leave us. What did you write me?
I wrote you of my love, for I thought you loved me then. And then I pled with you not to bring me home in the midst of my mission. And then at last, angrily, for I had not heard, but always to say I loved you, always.
But is this true?
Would I lie?
Someone has lied and will pay with his life if this is true.
What did you write to me?
I wrote, my love, God keep you safe, I know not. And then, not hearing, I wrote, God knows what nonsense. As to a rebel, thinking you no longer mine, faithless, thinking...
I would I had known. I was in torment. Forgive me.
Not yet. I can't breathe yet. I can't breathe. I think or believe. Can we ever believe again? Can it be as it used to be?
We can make it so.
Come. Kill me if you will. Put your arms around me if you love me. Do you still love me?
Yes.
Yes, yes. If this were false, then truly, then I should die. Is it all? All as before?
We have not changed.
No. Yes, a little, perhaps. They have changed us a little.
Not I. I have not changed. Sweet, think back all those months, all those hideous months. No word, no love. And when word did come, it was to make me prisoner. Think I have pride. And though I came here in defiance, I came truly to find you who have been lost from me.
Do you ask forgiveness? It is all forgiven.
Then hell's vanished, and here's heaven risen out of it, a little heaven of years in the midst of desolate centuries.
We had so few years. Let us make them doubly sweet, these years we have. Be gracious with each other. Sway a little to left or right if we must, to stay together. Never distrust each other, nay. Distrust all others when they whisper. Let us make this our pact now, for the fates are desperate to part us, and the very gods envy this happiness we pluck out of loss and death.
If two stand shoulder to shoulder against the gods, happy together, the gods themselves are helpless against them while they stand so.
Love, I will be your servant. Command me. What would you have?
Why, nothing.
Take this, my world, my present in your hands. You shall stand back of my chair, and together we shall build an England to make the old world wonder and the new world worship. Nay, what is this doubt on your brow?
I am troubled to be dishonest.
Speak what you will.
If you had but shown anger, I could have spoken easily. It's not easy now. But speak I must. Oh, I've thought much of this, thinking of you and me. And I say this now in all friendliness and love. The throne is yours by right of descent and by possession. But if this were a freer time and there were elections, I should carry the country before me. And this being true, and we being equal in love, should we not be equal in power as well?
We are equal. I've made you so.
Yes, but still it's all yours, yours to grant me now or take away.
How could this well be otherwise?
Am I not? And I say this too in all love. As worthy to be king as you to be queen, must you be sovereign alone?
You are young in policy, my Essex, if you do not know that if I should grant high place to you now, it would show ill to the kingdom. It would be believed that you had forced this on me, would be called a revolution.
But is this your reason, or have you another? Would you trust me as king?
No.
And are you still reluctant to give up your prerogatives?
Yes.
Then now, when the country is mine, the court in my hands, you my prisoner, I must send my men away, disband my army, give back your kingdom to you, and know that I have been king for a moment only and never will be again.
I am your prisoner.
The palace and the city are in my hands. This England is mine now for the taking.
This is your friendship. This is your love.
As water finds its level, so power goes to him who can use it. And soon or late the name of king follows where power is.
Now I do know at least what it was you wanted. You wanted my kingdom. You have it. Make the best of it, and so shall I. What are your plans?
I have none.
The tower? The block? You could hardly take a queen prisoner and have no thought of her destiny.
These are heroics. You know you're as free as air.
If I do as you ask.
Is it so hard to share your power with your love? I could have all, and I offer to share with you.
Why all this talk of power? No army opposed you when your troops came the road from Ireland. No guard was set to stop your entrance here. Now that you've come to see me with your 1,000 halberds, Shall I tell you why? Because I wish to keep peace between us. And for that, I am your prisoner.
Still, my dear prisoner.
Let's have no more pretending. You do not love me. No, nor want me.
God knows I want you. I've wanted power, believe myself fit to hold it, but not without you.
If you wanted me, would you rise and strike at me with an army? Never. You'd have come to me quietly and we'd have talked of it together, as lovers should. And we'd both have our way, and none the wiser. But not to take the palace. Hold me prisoner. No. What you truly wanted, you've taken. And that is all you shall have. This is your kingdom, but I am not yours. Put me where I will do least harm.
I cannot, could not, will not. I ask one word from you. Give me this one word and these soldiers shall leave and you shall be free.
I'll believe that when it happens.
I'll believe you when you promise.
Then I promise. You shall share the realm with me. As I am queen, I promise it.
Then this is my answer. Marvel! Marvel!
My lord.
Carry out the order of release. Dismiss my guard, retire with all our forces to the Strand. Release the Queen's guard and send them to their stations.
Yes, my lord.
The palace will be returned as quickly as taken. This is our last quarrel.
Yes, our last.
Form for retire!
Form for retire!
Form for return!
Ready to march!
Ready, Captain?
The order is obeyed, my lord.
Follow your men.
Yes, my lord.
Now let's talk no more about this tonight. Let us forget this matter of thrones and kingdoms and be but you and me for a while.
Yes. Yes. Let us forget. Have you kept your word indeed?
I have kept my word.
If I clapped my hands.
Call them?
No. I'll call them. To be sure, I have a guard once more. The palace has been returned. It is in our hands.
Yes, Majesty.
I have ruled England a long time, my Essex. And I have found that he who would rule must be quite friendless. Without mercy. Without love. Arrest Lord Essex! Huh? Arrest Lord Essex! Take him to the tower and keep him safe.
Is this a jest?
I never jest when I play for kingdoms, my Lord of Essex.
I trusted you!
I trusted you! And learned from you that no one can be trusted. I will remember that.
Lest that should be all you ever have to remember, Your Majesty. Take care what you do.
I shall take care.
Our final scene is the Queen's apartment in the tower. It is early morning on the day set for the execution of Lord Essex. An unhappy queen is being comforted by Penelope Gray.
I heard the clock strike 5.
Yes, I heard it. The quarter hour also.
You love him well, my dear?
Yes, Your Majesty.
I love him. He has never loved me.
Yes, yes, he does love you. I've been jealous of you.
Of me? Poor child.
But he loved you. Never me at all.
How do you know?
He told me.
You tell me this because you want to save him.
No, dear queen, it's true.
This is the end of me. It comes late. I've been a long time learning, but I've learned it now. Nobody dies happy, queen or no. Will he speak, thank you? Will he send to me?
No, not now.
You see, this is the end of me.
No, no.
Oh, I shall live. I shall walk about and give orders a horrible while.
You must send for him. He's as proud as you are. He'll say nothing. You must send for him. Bring him here.
No. Again.
Half hour.
Your Majesty.
Was I not wise to wait? He has spoken first. Yes.
Your Majesty, a citizen rabble has gathered to protest the execution of Essex. The captain begs permission to use your guard. There's no other force at hand to disperse them.
It's your day, Cecil. I dare say you know that. The snake in the grass endures, and those who are noble, free of soul, valiant and admirable, they go down in the prime always. They go down.
Madam, the guard is needed at once.
Aye. The snake mind is best. One by one you outlast them. To the end of time it will be so. Take my guard. Take it. I thought you brought word from... Go!
Call Lord Essex from his cell and bring him thither.
Lord Essex is prepared for execution. The priest has been sent to him.
Bring him here, I say.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Look here in my face, Penelope. He is so young. Do not be here when he comes. Do you mind? You look so young.
Yes, madam. But you... you're beautiful.
Still, I was once. You'd not believe it now.
Oh, yes. You're always beautiful. You've always been.
Go now. He'll come.
You sent for me, or so they said?
Yes.
It would have been kinder to leave me with my thoughts till the axe came down and ended them. You spoil me for death.
Are you so set on dying?
I can't say I care for it. This blood that beats in us has a way of wanting to keep right on. But if one's to die, it's well to go straight toward it.
You must have known I never meant you to die.
I am under sentence from Your Majesty's courts. There's no appeal that I know of. I am found guilty of treason on good evidence and cannot deny it. This treason, I believe, is punishable by death.
God knows I'm proud and bitter, too. Bitter at you with much cause. But I have sent for you. I have spoken first. Will you make me tell you first how much I've longed for you? It's hard for me.
My dear, you can tell me so gracefully, for you have nothing to gain or lose by me. But I have life and love to gain, and I find it less than fitting to speak like a lover, lest you suppose I do it to save my head.
It's true, then, that you'd never loved me, isn't it? You were ambitious, and I loved you. And it was the nearest way to power, and you took the nearest way. No, wait. This is an hour for truth, if there is ever truth. I'm older than you, but a queen. It was natural you'd flatter me, speak me fair.
Yes, that's true enough. Now may I go. This dying sticks in my mind and makes me poor company.
It is true. It is true, then.
If you wish to make me tell you how much I used to love you, how much I've longed for you, very well, I'll say it. That's a small victory to win over me now. But take it with the rest.
You did love me?
Yes.
And still do?
Yes, you should know that, I think.
And why did you not send my ring? I'd have forgiven all that had passed at any hour, day or night, since I last saw you. I've waited late at night thinking, tonight the ring will come. But the nights went by somehow like the days, and it never came. Till the last day came, and here it is, the last morning. Oh. And the chimes beating out the hours.
Dear, if I thought... But I could not have sent it.
Why?
If I'd tried to hold you to a promise you could not keep and you had refused me, I should have died more unhappy than I am now.
I'd have kept my promise. I'd keep it now.
If I offered you this ring...
Yes, even now.
You would set me free? Cede back my estates to me, love me as before, give me my place in the state?
All as it was.
And what would happen to your throne?
My throne? Nothing.
Yes. For I'd try to take it from you.
Again? You'd play that game again?
The games one plays are not the games one chooses always. I played for power and lost. But if I had another chance, I think I'd play and win.
Why do you say this?
I say it because it's true. I have loved you. Love you now, but I know myself. I have a weakness for being first wherever I am. I refuse to take pardon from you without warning you of this. And once you know it, pardon becomes impossible.
You do this for me?
Yes. And partly for England, too. I've lost conceit of myself a little. Life in prison's very quiet. It leads to thinking. You govern England better than I should. I'd lead her into wars, make a great name, perhaps like Henry V, and leave a legacy of debts and bloodshed after me. You will leave peace, happiness, something secure. A woman governs better than a man, being a natural coward. A coward rules best.
Still bitter.
Perhaps a little. It's a bitter belief to swallow. But I believe it. You were right all the time. And now may I go? This headsman comes sharp on the hour.
You have an hour yet. It's but struck five.
It's struck five sometime since.
It cannot go this way.
Aye, but it has.
And will. There's no way out. I've thought of it every way.
Speak frankly. Could you forgive me and keep your throne?
No.
Are you ready to give your crown up to me?
No. It's all I have. Why? Who am I to stand here paltering with a rebel noble? I am Elizabeth, daughter of a king, and you are my subject. What does this mean, you standing here eye to eye with me, your liege? You, whom I made and gave you all that you have. You, an upstart, defying me to grant pardon, lest you should sweep me from power and take my place from me. You, pretender to a throne upon which you have no claim. You, pretender to a heart who have been hollow and heartless and faithless to the end.
If we had met some other, how we might have been happy. But there's an empire between us. I am to die. Let us say that. Let us begin with that. For then I can tell you that if there'd been no empire, and even now, if you were not queen and I were not pretender, that God that searches heaven and earth and hell for two who are perfect lovers could end his search with you and me. Remember, I am to die. And so I can tell you truly, out of all the earth that I'm to leave, there's nothing I am very loath to leave, save you. Yet if I live, I'll be your death, or you'll be mine.
Give me the ring.
No.
Give me the ring. I'd rather you killed me than I should kill you.
It's better that I should die young than live long and rule and not rule well.
I should know that.
Is it not?
Yes.
Goodbye, then.
Oh! Then I'm old. I'm old. I could be young with you, but now I'm old. I know now how it will be without you. The sun will be empty and surf around an empty earth. And I will be queen of emptiness and death. Why could you not have loved me enough to leave my love and let me keep as I was?
I know not. I only know I could not.
Lord Essex, take my kingdom. It is yours.
So endeth the tragedy of Elizabeth and Essex, and so ends our series of great plays. It has been a happy adventure for this studio and for this commentator. It is the intention of the National Broadcasting Company, as I have said, to resume the great plays series early in the new theatrical season next fall. If you have suggestions as to plays, send them to Mr. Davis. The new great play manuals covering the new series will be ready in September. Make a note of that. Until then, fare thee well and a pleasant summer.
The cast in today's production of